11. The Cold Truth. Octavia watched Modo fall and disappear into the waves. She nearly tumbled after him. Only by gripping the remains of the railing and pushing back did she manage to stay on the Hugo. She leaned over the edge as far as she dared, watching for him. She began counting silently.
Come on, where are you?
Not until she hit 20 did Modo's head bob up 100 yards away. He flailed his arms.
What to do?
She glanced around, grabbed a nearby wooden barrel, and hefted it over the side, shouting,
Modo, hold on to this!
But he wasn't even looking in her direction.
Ah, good Lord!
Captain Goss rushed to her side. He was sweating, his scabbard bouncing off his heels.
That's bad luck!
Bad luck! She cried out.
Your ship is a wreck! Don't blame the Hugo! We've been attacked, all because you and your husband wanted to come here.
He waved at Modo and howled,
Keep moving, or you'll freeze. We'll send help. Kick, Modo,
Octavia yelled.
Keep kicking. We'll be right there.
Madam, Goss said, his voice surprisingly soft.
Madam, the cold truth is beyond our help now.
No.
She grabbed his arm.
Turn this ship around. We can pick him up.
Mrs. Walkin, calm down, he said,
pulling her hand off his person. At first she didn't even know whom he was addressing, having forgotten her married name. She clenched her fists.
I won't calm down.
You must understand, our anchor has been cut, so we can't stop properly. Our ship has been rammed, the hull is punctured. We have little time before the chambers fill to a dangerous level. We must immediately get to port. A rescue attempt would use up time we don't have.
If you won't go, I will. Lower a rowboat. Now. I insist.
Madam, that would be a death sentence. I can't allow it.
Our only hope is to travel with all speed toward Iceland.
Perhaps we'll encounter another vessel on the way. If not, we can alert the Icelandic authorities and give them the coordinates. They can conduct a more systematic search.
It was all Octavia could do to stop herself from diving in after Modo. He was out there, alone. He wasn't even visible anymore. Her eyes blurred with tears.
Madam, madam, please don't weep, the captain said soothingly.
Octavia couldn't hold back a sob.
Modo.
There, there. Moments ago I ordered the engineer to go full speed. We have good winds, too. We're about 60 leagues from Iceland. Rescuers could be back by this evening.
Octavia sighed and wiped her eyes. She had been taught to cry at will if the situation demanded it. But these were real tears. Tears wouldn't accomplish anything, though.
It is all we can do, isn't it?
Yes, Mrs. Walkin.
I'm sorry. It was wise of you to throw that barrel to him. Let's hope your husband is floating on it right now. If he can keep most of his body out of the water, he'll last much longer. He looked like a fit man. He'll have a better chance than most of surviving.
The captain paused.
Is there anything else you need? I could have one of my men bring you tea.
Tea? No, I'm fine.
Then please excuse me. I must look after my ship. I would suggest returning to your cabin. It would do no good for you to catch a chill.
Thank you, Captain.
She looked toward the ocean one more time. There was no sign of Modo. It was as if nothing had happened at all. She sent her warmest thoughts, her brightest wishes out over the water.
Be strong, Modo. We'll do everything to rescue you.
Then she remembered the wireless telegraph Mr. Socrates had given them. She might be able to send a message to him. Maybe he could alert the Icelandic authorities immediately. She ran back to their cabin, searching madly through their luggage and drawers, but she was unable to find the device. It would be in Modo's pocket. She collapsed on the cot and pounded her fists into her pillow until feathers flew everywhere.